It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. It's all presented by Andrew Mark on this Monday morning. Hope everybody survived Snowstorm Nemo over the weekend, though, in my opinion, at least for this area. I know Long Island and Connecticut is a little bit different. I don't think it's a big enough storm for it to garner a name. You know, I guess for like 2-3 feet on the island, I get it. 3 feet in Boston, I get it. But people in New York City and like Jersey and stuff, let's not name the storm. It's only a foot of snow. Everybody relax a little bit. People like to make a bigger deal about this stuff than it actually is. Anyway, hope everybody survived. And I know some of you guys are pretty bad off up in Connecticut, for example. Some parts of Long Island had 2 to 3 feet. I get it. That's terrible. And then hopefully you guys are digging yourselves out. In the news last night, they were still trying to plow the LIE, which is pretty unbelievable considering how big of a road that is and how important of an artery that is getting into Manhattan. Anyway, our question, we put it on Facebook and Twitter this morning, is what should the Giants do at running back to support / backup David Wilson next year? It's pretty much assumed, rightfully or wrongfully, and if you want to disagree with this, feel free to call in and disagree with this as well, that David Wilson is going to be the Giants' number one running back next year. Now, I'm not talking a 20 to 25 carry a game type of running back. I don't think there are many people in the NFL that can do that anymore these days, but he is a player that the Giants will rely on as their primary runner next year, probably somewhere in the 15 carries per game type of role. Now, moving past David Wilson, we know his strengths, know some of his weaknesses still. The Giants need to figure out what else they want to do at running back because like we've talked about over the last few weeks, in the NFL these days, you still need more than one back. If you look at the teams that were in the Super Bowl, Ray Rice, Bernard Pierce, both guys played significant minutes and got a significant number of carries. The 49ers used three running backs over the course of the year. You had Kendall Hunter, he got hurt, Anthony Dixon, LaMichael James, and of course Frank Gore. So these are all guys that played running back at times for the San Francisco 49ers. Look at the Giants this year. They used Ahmad Bradshaw, they used David Wilson, they used Andre Brown, and even Craig Lumpkin at times. The Dallas Cowboys, DeMarco Murray, Felix Jones. You're going to see LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown probably get carries next year for the Philadelphia Eagles. Teams like the Redskins, who are running Alfred Morris, you know, 25, 30 times a game, those are really plans and schemes of the past, and there are a few running backs that can do that. Chris Johnson, Adrian Peterson, there just simply are not a lot of them. Look at the Patriots over the last 5 or 6 years. Always rotating running backs, never relying on one guy to carry the load. This year you had Vereen, Ridley, Woodhead, the Steelers, Mendenhall, Redmond, the third guy, Jonathan Dwyer. Go from team to team, there's more than one running back to get the job done. So the question to Giant fans is, what should the Giants do now to help David Wilson next year? Andre Brown is a restricted free agent. What do the Giants do about him? Do you trust him to be Ahmad Bradshaw's 1B, or do you want him to be the backup? Darrell Scott's still on their contract. He's shown some breakaway speed. Do you expect him, and do you trust him to take a bigger role at running back next year? Do you perhaps wait out Ahmad Bradshaw and hopefully know their teams have much interest in him and you can bring him back for a very cheap contract towards the end of the offseason? Ryan Terrain and Craig Lumpkin were a part of this team last year. Do you want to keep them around? Maybe give a veteran presence. Or do you go outside the organization, bring in somebody else that you think can be relied on and is more of a sure thing? Now, the Giants don't have a ton of money to throw around in terms of bringing in these excess running backs, but if you can get somebody on the cheap on the open market, do you bring that guy in? here's why I think you do need to bring in a certain amount of veteran leadership with this group. The Giants still didn't have a whole lot of faith in David Wilson to protect the passer at the end of the season. I think they believe he can be a full-time running back. The running's not the issue there. Do we know David Wilson can stay healthy for a whole year? I don't have the answer for that. He's never done it in the NFL. Then you have Andre Brown, who the Giants did trust to protect the passer last season. He showed flashes here and there in short yardage, things of that nature, and he showed some good things. Andre Brown's also never stayed healthy for an entire NFL season. Last year, he had the knee. Then he had obviously the Achilles in his rookie year with the Giants. Can he take the battering of a 16-game season? We don't know the answer to that. Can Darrell Scott? We don't know the answer to that. So at some point, do you bring in a running back that you can depend on if these guys don't last? And that's what we'll talk about this morning. And anything else you want to talk about in regards to the New York Giants, the combine coming up, free agency beginning of March. Giants have some tough decisions to make. Do you think the Giants going to make any more moves, any more cuts, things like that? Feel free, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's start on our phones and go to Nathan up in Canada. Nathan, good morning.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back. I kind of want to follow up on the things with, maybe bringing in a veteran or whether to bring in a rookie.
Sure.
I think if you bring in a veteran, you might most likely you'll definitely have like a strong sense of leadership. But then in the case with Justin Tuck, he's kind of aging and he's proven last season he's kind of winding down. And I think if you bring in some like young gun, that's not necessarily too young, but just kind of just starting out, and he might actually bring the Giants to a win. And I think maybe if they give like Chase Blackburn a chance, he could definitely be there.
Hey, you know what? Let me say this. I don't think necessarily when I'm talking about a veteran running back, and Nathan, thanks for the call. I'm getting a little echo on your phone line there, pal. You know, I'm not talking about bringing in somebody that's old. When I say veteran, I mean somebody that's proven in this league that they can take a bit of a pounding. I don't necessarily mean going and bringing a 1,500-yard rusher or bringing a guy that's carried the ball for 10 years and is a little slow and is over the hill. So that's not what I mean by veteran running back. I just mean someone that you can depend on and has succeeded at the NFL level. That's the type of guy you want to bring in. As for Chase Blackburn, I think you bring him in next year as your ultimate linebacker insurance policy. He's a free agent, and by that I mean this. Chase Blackburn is capable of playing either strong side linebacker, middle linebacker, and he knows the assignments if he had to. He doesn't have the speed for it, but he could screw around over there on the weak side as well if you have to. He's a good special teams player. No one knows the defense better than him. He's a teacher. He'll get in guys' ears. He'll do all those things and the intangibles that you want out of a football player. That being said, I think you put yourself in a position next year where if Chase Blackburn has to start at one of the linebacker positions, you'll be okay with that. But you bring in competition, you try to find a younger guy to unseat him in one of those spots if you can. Maybe it's an internal option like a Mark Herzlick. Maybe you go out and you draft a linebacker in the first or second round, an Alec Ogletree, a Mike Minter, somebody like that, and those guys try to battle him for a linebacker spot. I think all those are possibilities. But what I wouldn't do is go into next year and say, all right, Chase Blackburn's going to be our starter at linebacker. Bam, there you go. We're happy. I think you want to develop a lot of competition on defense. It is not just at the linebacker position, folks. The Giants need to improve defensively. That was one of the themes towards the end of the season. The offense had struggles at times this year, too, and there's plenty of blame to go around. But the defense is ranked 25th or lower the last 2 years in terms of yards per game. Now, the points per game have been better because of the turnovers and Perryfield's bend but don't break at times system. So I think if you're the Giants, you want to try to make these players push themselves to be the best that they can be. So next year, a cornerback, you have an open competition. You know, if Corey Webster does indeed return, he has 1 year left on his contract, you bring him back and you say, Corey, we're not going to hand you the starting job this year. You struggled last season. You're going to earn it. You have a first-round pick in Prince Amukamara entering his third season, perhaps entering into his own now, and he can be the number one cornerback. You're going to battle with him. We're going to give Jaron Hosley, your third-round pick rather, last year, another chance to earn a starting job. He showed the Giants some things last year. And I think you go down the list at defensive end. Justin Tuck, you've been great for us. Mathias Kiwanuka is now going to be a full-time defensive end in theory if that happens. He's going to compete with you to start a defensive end. And quite frankly, JPP, you had about one sack in the final nine games last year. Show us in the offseason you're ready to come back and be a beast again, be a monster. Show that to us. Defensive line. Linval Joseph, I think he's done enough to earn that starting job. Who's the other tackle? Competition. Make it happen. Offensively, offensive line, same deal. Young guys, James Brewer, make him step in there, earn that role. And I think that's what Coach Coughlin wants. That's what the organization wants. Competition makes everybody better. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at #GiantsChat. We'll get some nice tweets coming in here. Steve at Droykin wants to bring in some athletic safeties to become more versatile and a linebacker with some experience, but not old. Again, making the delineation there of a veteran versus somebody that's older. I will say this, Steve, in terms of the safeties, I think safeties is really the one position where the Giants are fairly well stacked. I don't think they're going to go out there spend a lot of money on a big-time safety. They already have a lot of money invested at Onshore Roll. They like what Stevie Brown gave them last year. They hope he can come back and repeat that same sort of success in terms of forcing turnovers. Will Hill's a young athlete that they think if they bring him along further, he can be a factor at the safety position. And then we'll see about Kenny Phillips. He's a free agent. Will he get a big contract from somewhere else? Or will he come back on the cheap? Terrell Thomas, once they renegotiate his contract, will they maybe bring him back and try him out at safety if they don't think he can play corner because of his knee? So I don't think, Steve, that the Giants will go out there and spend big-time money on a safety. We'll get to more of your tweets in just a second at 201-939-4513. But back to our phone. Say hi to Ed in Maryland. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the safety. That's what I called about.
Sure, Ed. What's up?
Yeah, Kenny Phillips to me is one of the league's top 10 safeties. And prior to last year, before he missed games because of his knee, the league and scouts around the league seen him as one of the rising young safeties in the league. So I would think it's a bad move to let him go. I think being that he had a down year last year, didn't have any picks, Giants could probably keep him at a cheaper price. So I think maybe the Giants should really try to keep him maybe like a 2 or 3 year deal and see what he does, because he's only 25 and he's very talented. And I don't think we should just get him start a job to Will Hill, who missed 4 games last year because he got took some PEDs. And Stevie Brown had a great year, but it's just one season. I know a fan called him last week and called him Stevie Wonder, and I thought that was funny because, I mean, you know, he was a great player for us, but I mean, only one season. I wouldn't feel right giving him that starter job going into next year.
Well, I don't think you hand it to him, Ed, but I think you have to give him a chance to compete for it. And my concern with Kenny Phillips isn't his ability as a safety, or even the fact he had a down year last year. He had a very, very, very serious knee injury a couple years ago. He missed an entire season, and he wasn't even 100% when he came back after missing that full season. Last year, he had knee injuries again. As you well know, Ed, in the NFL, once you start having bad knees, they stay bad knees. They generally don't get better, and you have to be careful offering a multi-year deal with guaranteed money to a guy that you're not even sure can stay on the field because of his knee injury. Remember, once Kenny hurt himself this year, he tried to come back a couple times and could never really get back on the field. He basically missed, 13 games this season with that knee injury. So I would worry that might be a chronic deal. I'm sure the Giants medical staff is looking at it. I'd just be very careful investing a lot of money in a guy that has that sort of injury history with his knees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, that'll help them to not have to pay so much money. And I know Perry Pugh and Coughlin and Reese prior to last season always talked about him very highly, how he covers tight ends one-on-one. Like Vernon Davis, though, he's a very good tackler. He's good in coverage. And so I just think if we lose him, that would just open up like another hole for us that we would have to fill, because I don't think Stevie Brown is capable of starting like a full season, and I don't think Stevie Brown is going to have another 8-pick season. And as far as talent wise, Stevie isn't capable of playing slot receivers or checking Vernon Davis, tight ends, or Jason Witten. Kenny Phillips does that, and so I just think that'll be like another hole we have to fill. So I mean, yeah, he's been hurt. Yeah, he has a bad knee, but I think because of that, they could keep a talented player that knows the scheme, and not have to pay him too much. And you know, because I just think if we lose him, that'll just have like another hole we have to fill. We have to sort of start a safety role, start a pretty much three linebacker roles, defensive tackle, and you won't be able to fill that with just the draft. So, you know, I think it'll be smart to keep your own guys like Kenny Phillips, Keith Rivers, also who I think has talent. He's been hurt also, but I think if you have like another 1-year deal just to see what he can do as a starter, Keith Rivers also could be a big help to us.
Yeah, Ed, I have no problem bringing back Kenny Phillips as long as the cost isn't prohibitive. And again, you're going to have to see what interest he gets from other teams. Maybe they're looking at him the same way you're looking at him, where he's had a lot of success in the league. He's still young. He had a couple knee injuries. We can fight through that. We can get better. And another team out there, maybe we'll offer him a 4-year, you know, $15, $16 million contract. And I'm just not sure the Giants are in the financial spot right now where they can match that type of offer.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm still waiting for like a couple more cuts for us to make. I know some fans called him about it last week. Like Coy Webster, I don't think we should cut him. But
nope.
At least to get his numbers down. And then But as far as a guy like David Deal, I mean, he's a right tackle, and I don't know what his cap number is, but, you know, if he's playing left tackle, left guard, right guard, David Deal, you know, starting to, you know, really decline. So I know he's a true Giant. The Giants probably don't want to cut him like that because, you know, of what he's brought to the team. But, you know, I'm just still waiting for that to happen, because even if David Deal comes back next year, I don't see him as a starter.
No, I hear you. Mike, Ed, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot, dude. That'll be another thing the Giants have to figure out, what to do on the offensive line. We'll see. I think that's another interesting position the Giants will have to evaluate. Where do they see James Brewer fitting in? Do they see him as a tackle? Do they see him as a guard now? He put a lot of guard last year. And then the Giants have some major issues at offensive line as well. 201-939-4513. Back to Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Brian, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his username, Giants, he doesn't have time to call. We appreciate that. But could the Giants consider Steve Spagnuolo as an advisory role this year? Fuel has 1 year left on his contract. Let me put it this way, Brian. If you bring in Spags and some type of assistant head coach scenario, I guess that's the type of thing you'd be talking about, or even as a you know, part-time advisor, to me, that's undercutting the defensive coordinator. And if you're going to stick with Perry Fuel, stick with Perry Fuel. And I'll argue this year, and we've had this argument before, I'd be more than happy to have it again, that over the course of this season, where the Giants had their biggest issues on defense, it had more to do with personnel, in my opinion, than it had to do with scheme. Now, I know a lot of people disagree with me there, but you can't bring in a guy like Spags, the defensive head coach, as an assistant, rather, and he'll undercut Perry Fuel and only really add to the clamor within fans and the media. So almost from a PR perspective, you couldn't do that. And frankly, Fuel and Spags are such different styles, I'm not sure that combination would necessarily work anyway. Our good buddy Mike Farmer back on it. Hopefully he's taking the weekend to calm down a little bit. Mike was a little upset last week over the Ahmad Bradshaw move, but he seems to have moved forward with his latest tweet. Would Michael Turner be cheaper than a possible return of Bradshaw, since Turner is at least 32 years old? Need a vet. Now, the thing about Turner, he's older, but he doesn't have quite as much tread off the tires, because in his first, 5 years in San Diego, he didn't play a lot because LaDainian Tomlinson, obviously. That being said, it's not bad. He's a bruising back. He's a short yardage guy. If you can get him on the cheap, Mike, that could be something. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think Michael Turner would actually work as a different type of change of pace back, certainly a different type of back than David Wilson. I think that would actually be a pretty effective move there. So, yeah, I co-sign Michael Turner, someone you can look at in the offseason, again, if he's available and can come at a low price. Much like you, I don't think he'll be on in high demand, and he can protect the passer. Ken C. at KenRC3 wants to bring back Brandon Jacobs. He's familiar with the offense, should be low on money. Good comment to Brandon Wilson. Similar to Michael Turner, bigger guy, bruiser. Jacobs never really one of the better goal line and short yardage backs, which Turner actually is extremely valuable at. So I would like Turner as an option more than Jacobs. And I think you worry about Jacobs not playing for a year and then having to come back and really match that. And I'm frankly not sure how much the Giants saw Jacobs had left when he left 2 years ago. So, you know, he had a knee injury this past offseason. One of the reasons he started inactive with the 49ers to start the year, then it was more of a coach's decision deal. But, you know, I think that's where you look for that. And then at Ben Sandberg writes in, draft well, plain and simple. So he wants to, and I think that's in response to asking about the running backs, and he wants to go young and add more youth to complement David Wilson and Andre Brown, which I don't necessarily discount the fact that they could take a running back later on in this draft in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round. Remember, you can get running backs late, folks. You can go through the list. DeMarco Murray, late round pick. Bryce Brown, undrafted. Andre Brown, late round pick. David Wilson was the one we get that. Brandon Jacobs, late round pick. Ahmad Bradshaw, late round pick. Go around the league, too. Arian Foster was not exactly, you know, a top 10 picker in the NFL draft, folks. Jamal Charles, same deal. Wasn't. You can find running backs late in these drafts, middle rounds, running backs, and these guys can be effective. Sean Green, I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler, but he wasn't, you know, a top pick either. You can find serviceable running backs that are not first-round picks. I mean, guys that aren't even drafted have come around and been effective running backs. You know, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Let me think of some other guys here. Bryce Brown, undrafted, another guy. Alfred Morris, perfect example, sixth-round pick, come out, you know, in the rookie of the year conversation, one of the leading rushers in the NFL. Let's see. Marshawn Lynch was a high pick. But the bottom line is that you can get through it here and find these later round draft picks of running back. If you block them and you put them in the right scheme, you can certainly be successful. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. And Ryan K. McCready tweets in, I say we draft one in the later round. If Lacey falls to the second round, there's somebody like Bell from MSU. Oh, he's on top of his draft stuff. Very impressive. I really, really would doubt the Giants would use their second-round draft pick on a running back last year after investing a first-rounder in David Wilson last year. And quite frankly, I think liking what Andre Brown gives as a short-yardage, bigger, bruising type of running back. So I honestly think that idea of going in round number two might be a little bit early, but I suppose they could go in that direction. I don't think the Giants will, considering they used a high pick on a running back last season. Late round, though, again, 6 or 7, I think that's certainly a possibility. And Mike Farmer, one more. Do you think the Giants will learn from what the Bucs did to them in the draft last year and be more apt to trade up this year if need be? And, Mike, my answer to you would be it all depends on the value. I mean, it is a little easier to trade up now because of the money in the picks and things of that nature. So you have to decide whether or not the amount of picks you're moving up and the player that you're targeting is worth the price that you have to pay. Look at the Dallas Cowboys last year. They really thought Morris Claiborne was one of the, you know, top 3 or 4 guaranteed big-time players in the draft, and they traded a second-round pick to move up. Did it work out? I think it remains to be seen. Claiborne had a good rookie year, but I don't think he was quite as good as people thought. Did he have the type of year that Patrick Peterson had in his rookie year as a member of the Arizona Cardinals? Probably not so much. But it was a move the Cowboys thought they had to make, so they made it. 201-939-4513. Tim's in Clifton, New Jersey. Tim, long time no speak, buddy. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I just have a few questions about free agency specifically.
Sure.
What do you think the chances are that we retain Kenny Phillips?
I think it depends on how much interest he gets from elsewhere. I think the Giants would be very open to bringing Kenny Phillips back But I don't think they're going to guarantee him a lot of money or give him a long-term deal with those injury concerns, especially considering they have three guys in-house that they like. They like Anchar Roll, they like Stevie Brown, who's a restricted free agent, and they like Will Hill. So I don't think they're going to break the bank on Kenny Phillips.
Yeah, and what about Martellus Bennett?
You know, that's interesting. And I think the Giants will once again let him gauge his value first. And if someone's out there willing to break the bank on Martellus Bennett and give him a five-year contract worth $20, $25 million with, you know, $7 million guaranteed or something like that, I'm not sure the Giants are in the financial situation here where they can afford to pay a tight end that much money when really, even more so than receiving, they ask their tight end to block. So I think they'll let him gauge his value, and I think they'd like to have him back at the right price, but I don't think they're going to break the bank to do it. I think you can find a tight end to fill that. Remember, Jake Ballard was more than adequate a tight end. They basically picked him off the scrap heap a couple years ago. So I think they'll let Martellus Bennett find his value. If they can get him at a decent contract before free agency, they will. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, I think Martellus Bennett, he has every right to off his first really big year as a pro. He's going to try to make some cash. I don't blame him. I tried to do the same thing. I just don't know how much interest is there's going to be out there, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's just funny because they cut a few guys and they're still over the cap, projected to be over the cap, right?
I think right now they're about $2 or $3 million under, so they still don't have a whole lot of room to even re-sign their own guys, whether it's, you know, Stevie Brown restricted, Cruz free agent. Then you have your offensive linemen. Both Booth and Beattie are unrestricted free agents, and you're going to want to bring those guys back.
Absolutely. And then I'm not comfortable with the Giants cutting Corey Webster right now.
Neither am I.
I really don't like that because who's going to play? I think he was a scapegoat at a lot of times last year, you know, because the pass rush wasn't playing up to its full potential, and then he was just kind of, I don't know. I feel like he took unfair criticism last year.
No, Tim, I agree with you. The Giants always asked Corey to cover the other team's best wide receiver. Every game, whether it was Torrey Smith or Dez Bryant, and you can go down the list over the Pierre Garçon, go down the list throughout the entire season. And did he struggle at times? Yeah. Did he have a down year? No doubt about it. But nobody in that secondary played particularly well, except for really Stevie Brown with the interceptions. And Anchar Roll was a pretty versatile player and did a lot for the Giants in a lot of different spots. But here's my point. If you let Corey Webster go, you're basically sitting in your offseason going into 2013 with two corners on your roster that you can trust. Prince and Jerron Hosley. One's a third-year guy. Yeah. One's going to be a second-year guy. Am I putting all my eggs in those two guys' basket? I cannot let go of my only veteran corner when the only two guys on the roster to play corner are Prince and Jerron Hosley. Nothing against them. In this league, you have to have three or four corners, and you just can't let guys like Webster go.
I agree. It should be interesting to see who they draft, too, to see. Because, you know, we have needs right now. But I'm sure Reese will just take the best player available.
It's funny. We always laugh. People want to draft a corner, draft a linebacker, offensive line. I get that. But if you look at Jerry Reese's draft history, and if you look at the strength of this year's draft, Tim, I think there's a pretty darn good chance you're going to see a defensive lineman come to the Giants in round one.
Oh, absolutely. Like Sheldon Richardson or Alex Okafor. People like that.
Yeah, there are some linebackers too, like an Alec Ogletree if he falls that far, Teo if he falls that far, a guy like Minter out of LSU. There will be a lot of options. My guess it'll be defense and it'll be front seven. And I think if you want to include front seven, include linebackers and linemen in the same column, right now, just knowing what I know about the Giants' needs and how this draft seems to be playing out, I'd say there's a 75% chance you get somebody in that front seven coming to the Giants in round one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Should be interesting.
All right, Tim, appreciate the call, buddy.
All right.
Good stuff, man.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Good to hear from you, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. And I think it's interesting that, you know, Giant fans want to improve corner, and maybe we'll do a little Corey Webster talk tomorrow, see what Giant fans want to do about C-Web, because that seems to be a pretty big bone of contention for the Giants heading into next year. So maybe we'll touch on that tomorrow. One more tweet before we say goodbye. F.S. Chippers wants to know, or wants to make his opinion, to give Wilson a full-time starting job, and he think will be as good, and if not better, than Doug Martin in Tampa Bay, which he's referring to the fact that the Bucs traded ahead of the Giants last year to snag Doug Martin before the Giants took David Wilson. But the point of the matter here, folks, the Giants front office their scouts, their draft guys, they had David Wilson ahead of Doug Martin on their charts, on their list, on their tier. So there you go. I mean, the Giants didn't get beat by Tampa Bay. They got the guy they wanted. Not that, believe me, people in the room like Doug Martin. He's a good player. But they wanted David Wilson. They got David Wilson. So it's not like the Bucs outmaneuvered the Giants and, you know, schemed them out of the guy they really wanted. That's not how it went down. Thanks for calling in today, folks. We appreciate it. Good job on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on Giants.com. We'll talk Giants defensive backfield, a little secondary talk tomorrow right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Thanks to everybody out there. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one.